Hawke's Bay is one of New Zealand's plentiful food-producing regions, and it's not too out of the ordinary to see massive bins of new harvest apples and pears on the street. And here at this food rescue charity on this busy Hastings Road, the fruit's all free. In fact, all the food is. I joined the line snaking down the block to find out what makes Nourished Fennill tick.
We're nearly at the front of the queue and I can see people loading up with all their produce.
It's just the best thing ever, this.
It's a real hive of activity and people are chatting away in the queue as well as they're waiting.
And you know, it's a meeting place. So many people have come here. Oh, hi, how are you? It's great. It saves old people a lot of money. And they're the ones that really need some help. I'm one of them. Hello.
Hello.
What have you got there?
Well, let's have a look. Put it on the table.
Hot cross buns, awesome. Those are Olivani spreads. You know, butter substitute. Yep, pop that in. Thanks.
Big bag of frozen mixed veggies.
Frozen mixed winter vegetables. These are absolutely awesome.
My name's Christina Macbeth, and I run and the founder of Nourished Fennill Food Rescue.
Tomatoes, fab. My mum will love those. Oh, yeah, finished my courgettes. Oh, spring onions, awesome. Can't get enough veggies. Bananas are good. Oh, pies, yes, I know who lot wants those.
Everybody loves a pie.
There's so much out there that is potentially going to waste that nobody, you know, people want to get rid of. So why, you know, hey, we'll take it. And that takes the onus off us to have to be concerned about who gets it. And it makes it easy for the community to go, well, then I can go and take part. I can take part because I want to take part. I can take part because I need to take part. I can do it and to help somebody else. And it makes it, there's no admin. There's no qualifications. You know, no one that has to stand at the door and go, why are you here?
How often do you come?
Usually Wednesdays and Thursdays. Most every week, you know.
Got a good bag of food What have you got?
Oh, they got lettuce, potatoes, pies, bananas. You see me going out and buy stuff. It's all here. You know, just around the corner there, they got about four bins of apples. Heaps, you know. And pears over there. And anybody can come and help themselves. You know, so it's really good, eh? Oh, good, there you go. This is one of my old mates. He's always here, that.
Okay, just a reminder, we're trying social distancing. We know it's a new thing. Two people to a table. It's one, two.
Is it that you're not having to pay for it, or you want to rescue the food, or what are the reasons you're coming?
Well, tell the truth. You know, it's for free, you know, so, and help me, you know, so I don't spend a lot of money in the supermarket. I can come here. Yeah, so, you know, that's another reason.
Anytime there's any kind of mass production of food, you're always going to have waste. And the key is to have a middleman, which is us, who connects the waste with the consumer. I think a lot of the stuff that we're getting in the last 2 years anyway has been a result of the pandemic. So, you know, cancelled orders, food that's no longer long dated. You know, there's certain date times that supermarkets will only accept product. Still, you have the usual, you know, mislabeling, maybe not the right color in a batch, damage en route to a destination. You know, we shop with our eyes. So we're, you know, cosmetic shoppers, and that means a lot of food gets looked over for that reason. You know, there's a plethora of reasons why we get food. And we don't ask. We're here to take it.
We're in the meat freezer, which today, as you can see, we're trying to find room. So this means... Hi, I'm Marianne Shakespeare, and I am the produce coordinator for Nourished Fennill.
Well, now we've opened this freezer, and there's a massive frozen vegetables here. Were these destined for the Korean market? That looks like Korean writing on that.
Yes. so possibly what it will be is not able to get by shipment. Any of the markets, overseas markets, have to have a very long shelf life. So if this hasn't been able to go, I can't see any date on that one, but there would have been on the box, and that will be the reason. Or the company has said, stop, we don't want any more at the moment.
Well, and now we've got pies and more pies in this freezer.
And that's the three pallets that the girls are doing there that came in yesterday. So we'll bag them up into sixes for a large family and fours for two people, so they still get two meals.
And you've got some gourmet items in here. You've got some salmon.
We also get
special breads.
Quite a bit of gluten-free bread. So
they said if food waste was a country, it would be the third largest carbon emitter behind China and the U.S. It's massive. And so when food is in landfill, it breaks or doesn't break down, but it's anaerobic, meaning lacking oxygen. And so it releases methane gas. And methane is actually 80 times more potent than CO2. I mean, we hear about CO2 all the time. Well, methane is, you know, that's next level. So food in landfill is actually really, really detrimental. And it's a huge greenhouse gas, a huge climate emitter. And it's really unnecessary. I think one of the rubbish trucks that drives around Hastings says 60% of the rubbish in this truck is still edible. You know, it's, we just want to highlight it. You know, we're all guilty. We're not shaming anybody. But it is a consciousness that we just have to adopt, that we need to be taking it a bit more seriously.
I saw coming in here, there's just bins of apples outside. Yeah. Where have they come from?
So that's what, look, that can be anything from Turners and Growers locally to Mr. Apple to Bostock's to Orion's. It can be somebody who has a tree in their backyard. We have a lot of people that come from our rural landscape around here that bring us today. In fact, we got two banana boxes of silver beet. And people love the fact that, you know, I have a laden feijoa tree. Oh, I've got a massive orange tree. They love that they can bring it somewhere. They say, oh, my neighbors are sick to death of of my apple tree because we keep putting it out in the street. And so eventually, you know, it does find its way out here. And I think we have had a grower grow a plot of, I think it was about 2 acres, just to bring us food, just to bring us produce. He was bringing cauliflower and broccoli because he loved the concept. So, you know, it can encourage all sorts of donations, even community gardens when produce isn't picked or, you know, surplus. Bring it on.
And before, presumably this food was going to landfill. How much food do you think's been saved through Nourished Fennel?
Oh, wow. So since our inception in 2017, we've kept statistics. We, at the beginning of this year, so the beginning of 2022, we had rescued 2.5 million kgs of food. So that was rescued and given out. So that's it's a lot.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
I'm Brian Lawrence. I help out with the produce and putting it all together in bags. What I'm doing today is feed jars. We've had quite a bit come in today. I've been doing the box, breaking down the boxes for the ladies who are doing the pies. So, yeah.
Where are these feed jars? And you've got some lemons there. Where are they all from?
They're all from locals. People have got them in their gardens. Their trees are growing. So they dropped them off here, which we often get heaps of produce from local people. So, and then we give them out the apples out front, which Nikki's got, so we put boxes out for them to help themselves.
How long have you been volunteering
here?
How
long have I been volunteering? Since day one, which was the 14th of February 2017.
And what brought you here?
Well, I'm an Hawke's Bay boy, and I came back here to retire after being with railways for 50 years. And I had to find something to do after I retired in July 2016, and I was allowed to have 6 months off because of my health condition at that time. And I seen this advertising, I thought, just what I need to do. So,
what do you like about it?
just seeing the amount of produce and goods coming in, saving it from going to the tip. And, you know, we've got pig farmers on board that we supply, but and everybody coming in, it's open to everyone, and that's what Christina's philosophy was, to rescue food, to save it from going to the tip, and also that everybody can come and enjoy this amazing Hawke's Bay food that we collect.
Lemons.
Lemons? Where are the lemons?
On the tomatoes.
What are some of the stories you've been hearing about families that have been fed through this organisation?
I think it's been a real lifeline for a lot of people, with the uncertainty of just everything happening at the moment. We've had lots of stories of people saying, you know, things like when school comes around, uniforms that need to be bought or stationery that needs to be bought, because they can come here and get food, well, they have that little bit extra to, you know, spend on that. We had one family say that by coming here regularly, I think they've been coming for 2 or 3 years, that they were actually able to take their children on a holiday up to the Coromandel. We've had stories of people who have been, you know, just suddenly had whānau, extended whānau thrust on them, and they've, you know, 18 people living in a home together, and just suddenly the food bill going through the roof, and it being a true lifesaver that they can come in. We just get endless testimonials of people saying it's been, and you know, and they can do it with dignity. They're not coming here and made to feel bad. They come here, they even have a social interaction with other people that might be waiting, or some of the volunteers as they collect the food. That it's just, you know, the reach has been more than food. It's also just that social connection that they can get at the same time. And being met by faces that are kind, you know. We're not taking pity on people. We're not even interested in that side. We're interested in getting this food out and making a connection. And just, you know, there's so many rewards from that.
What about the high inflation rate at the moment? How is that affecting the people that are coming here and the amount you're giving out?
Yep, definitely seeing an increase in types of people, numbers of people, frequency of people. Again, we don't keep tabs, but we stand at the door, we greet, and there's a lot of faces a lot of new faces, I think, that we're seeing that have not been along before, and a lot of relieved faces because, you know, when they take a chance to come, you know, for some people it's a big deal. When they see what they get, you know, they're just like, some people cry. Some people just sort of stand there and go, you know, are you sure this is free? It's cool. It's really cool to be able to do that. But yeah, it's definitely, the inflation's making its mark for us all. And we're just really pleased that we can continue doing something that, you know, takes the sting off it a little bit.
Hello there, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Have we got a spot
yep,
for you?
Yep, there's a spot.
We have?
There
right, thank you guys. There you go.
Thank you.
Go.
Hey. Wow. Hey.
We've got Big Strong today that's going to be heavy.
I'm Nikki Gardner and I'm the sustainability officer, and I've been with Nourish for Nil since the beginning, like the first day of operations.
People are giving a koha as well.
Yep. Works in well, just a meet and greet, and if we notice that they haven't been before, we can give them the spiel of put the returns in the box and don't take my box.
Do many people donate?
No. If everyone gave a dollar, we could do $200 a night. But it's not, the money isn't the point. It's the, you know, they're helping us. Without them, there's no point rescuing the food. But Nourish for Nil did 1,200 tonne last year, and that just skimmed the surface of what is available. So that's 4 McLean Parks that didn't turn into landfill. So that went into 90,000 tummies.
Seems absurd that there's food there that's simply not, you know, fit to be sold, or no longer as fresh as it was when it was made, that then, rather than being given out to people or made cheaper for them to buy, was being thrown out.
Christina Macbeth, the founder of Nourished Fennel in Hastings. It takes up to 7 hours a day to collect the food from producers, supermarkets and cafes, and there are 8 distributions a week at 4 venues, with rescued food also making its way to rural communities. It's part of the New Zealand Food Network of food rescue hubs, launched after the first pandemic lockdown.